If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to 2009, originally by Mac Miller, performed by Raylan Baxter. It's actually part of an entire EP Raylan has put together of Mac Miller covers called Good Morning, due out July 26th. If you're unfamiliar with Miller, he was a hip-hop artist who passed last September at the age of 26. He was prolific during his short life, but demons, including depression and drug abuse, caught up to him. The juxtaposition of Raylan's spirit and Miller's work was kind of initially difficult to get my head around, but having heard the EP now several times, I'm not only a fan of what Raylan has created, but now I want to explore even more of Mac Miller's work. I caught up with Raylan by phone, and our conversation started when I asked how he had come across Miller in the first place.
So it was at the Okeechobee Festival in 2016 down in Florida. And it was a Saturday. We played it was Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, but it's on the internet somewhere. We played at noon, I think, noon or 1 p.m. And then we packed up our stuff, had some lunch. And I was just walking around the festival, and I saw on main stage, I knew Kendrick Lamar was going to play in the, like, when it got dark. And I didn't really know who was playing before him, but I had a schedule. I just found a little shady spot, you know, and I sat there, and I was just exhausted. And so I found a tree, and I just literally sat down and leaned up against it and then waited for whatever all these people in the audience were waiting for that seemed really excited. And you know, the show started, it was daylight. And Mac Miller came out on stage, and absolutely, it was incredible. I have a short video clip of when he, it was like maybe his first song or second song, a song called Insomniac that he did with Rick Ross. And I saw 50,000 people jumping up in the air, and he was jumping up in the air on stage, and it was dark and it thumped, and I was just moved by the show to start. It was the show. And, you know, you've been to everyone would know what I'm talking about when I say that you were sucked into a show and you didn't. And for me, I play so much music and I see so many shows that I see a song or two and then I'm distracted and I walk away. But I stayed the entire time and came back to like the guys that I was playing with. And I was just amped up. That's the only way I could say it. And so we slept in tents that night and then drove back to Nashville the next day. And it was a 15-hour or so drive. And I bought Mac Miller's album that had come out a month before that festival called Goddamn.
Right.
But it's good AM, good morning, you know, where I... It's a good AM. And he says good morning all over that album. And I loved it. I loved the line so much in a song called Rush Hour. I'm a deranged motherfucker, took too many uppers. And I just, like, you know, I connected with him on that album. And I went backwards a little bit. But he's just singing about, this is why he has millions of fans. He's singing about stuff that an inspired and introspective, curious about life, troubled from the start, a bit of humanity that we all deal with on some slice. And then he put out a couple more records and I just got into it. And I got hip hop in me. You know, when I was in high school, one of my best friends, his name is Mac Burns. And we went, he just showed me all types of hip hop. Like, it started off with Mos Def and Talib Kweli, mm-hmm. and, you know, like Aesop Rock and yep. Atmosphere on that world. And then, what else was going on at that time in my life? Like the Lost Boys and Okay, I'm just drawing a blank.
Yeah, so right now, so hip hop with some consciousness and hip hop that had message as opposed to, you know, kind of the brash hip hop of 2019, let's say.
Yeah, and Mac had that stuff too. Like he did it all. You know, he was like a punk and a bad boy, but also a deep thinker and spent a lot of time alone. Yeah. And he's always talking about how he came up from the bricks in his basement or the concrete in his basement to these yellow brick roads, how he would make music and in his basement. And his mom telling him he was special even when he was a baby, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that he was a badass, but he was also like everyone could have imagined being good friends with him. And I like that.
His substance abuse and his depression, obviously, in the end is what took its toll on him. Do you think that, and I don't know if you've ever met Mac, I should ask that if you ever met him.
I have not. I haven't.
Do you think that, you know, he probably couldn't have been the artist he was or as prolific as he was probably without that life experience? I mean, both of those things combined and being famous, I guess, just eventually take its toll, right? And inspire you to write.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't dealt with substance abuse at a deep level,
right?
And an addiction at a deep level. And so I don't really know what he was going through. I didn't know him, and so it was just purely an art form, and then my ideas of who he is and what he was going through. That I clinged on to. I just loved when I listened to his music and I sang along with his music and his albums. It made me feel good. And when he passed away, he was him and Leonard Cohen are the only two guys that have passed away. And all of this media madness. There's been so much death in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That I was not moved by any of it other than Leonard Cohen and Mac Miller. And it bit a hold of him really hard. And just with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain and all the other greats that died before all of the albums were made that they were supposed to make.
Yeah.
They flashed really brightly and they burned hot. And
then they faded away.
You know? Yeah.
I don't know if Mac's ever going to fade away. I mean, he's going to obviously fade away from the earth
physically,
as it is now. But I think his music is that... You know, so little music these days is sustainable and so little of it will be remembered 20, 30 years from now. But I think he had a lot to say about, you know, popular culture and consciousness in these times. So and certainly the way he did it is amazing. I read that Wide Awake, your last record, was inspired by Mac. I assume more the tonality and some of the subjects. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, that's why. I mean, I relate to Mac and his writing because I think the same way. I think the same way as he thinks.
Right.
In some respect, you know, not entirely. Obviously, nobody thinks the way anybody else does it completely. But I like listening to. I listen to a lot of hip hop. When I start after that Okeechobee Festival, it got me back into some study mode where I was studying phrasing and how percussive Mac Miller's phrasing is and how percussive Vince Staples' phrasing is. And, you know, and so I liked that. If I had muted all the words to his lyrics, but he replaced it with drum beats, it would be very musical and very melodic. You know, boom, 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 boom.
Right, the cadence.
And so, the cadence, there it is. And so I was studying it kind of, I don't know if I'd call it studying. I just listened to it all the time, and it had a subliminal effect on me. But if you listen to Wide Awake, there's quite percussive, you know, placement of words. And, I owe that to the hip hop that was coming out of whatever speaker, whenever I felt the need to feel some bump, you know?
Totally. So let's talk about the EP, Good Morning. It's seven mm-hmm. tracks. I guess the first thing is that covering anyone's music and making your own must be a bit of a challenge. Whether it's spending the emotional time with the lyrics or just the performance of these songs or creating the same sort of cadence or the same sort of atmosphere with instruments. And you've done it pretty quickly. I mean, he passed in September of 2018, and I don't imagine you were thinking about doing a record before he passed necessarily.
No.
How did it all kind of come together for you?
On January 3rd, we left Nashville, the band that I'm playing with, mm-hmm. and myself get into the van. On our first show is in Pittsburgh,
right?
On the 6th or 7th or something, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And so, but on the way up, we had to stop in New York City to do a session at Paste Magazine, a filmed, recorded, broadcasted session. And they wanted to do something different, as did I. And I didn't want to play any of my songs. They wanted to do cover songs. And so on the drive up, and this is a really impressive thing about the guys that I'm playing with, on the drive up, we decided to do a song that we do all the time, Vampire Blues by Neil Young. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to do a Mac Miller song called Come Back to Earth.
Yep.
And the day of we decided this, without picking up instruments for the song, the guys listened to the song in headphones and learned it in their brains. This is Barney Cortez, a singer-songwriter from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who was playing guitar with me. Mm-hmm. Todd Bolden, who was playing bass with me, who was recording on, both of these guys were recording on the EP. Mm-hmm. Our old drummer, Don Bermudez, was playing drums. And our friend, our buddy Jeff Adamchek, was playing keys. And our girl, Leather Locklear, was playing percussion, who we picked up in New York City that day.
Wow.
And so we just did it. We ran it once, and then they recorded it. And it was cool. You'll even see, if you watch the video,
yeah.
I'm holding a magazine, and I have the lyrics behind the magazine.
Oh, wow.
I'm just getting a hold of the song. And it felt so good, and then we did it on tour, and we did it in Pittsburgh later that week. We did it in New York City, everywhere we played that song. And then I remember talking to my manager, Jesse, and Paul Dryden at ATO, and somehow it got brought up where it was a cool idea to do a collection of songs, and where can we find the time to do this? I didn't even know that I would want to do this until I sang that song outside mm-hmm. of where I had sang it previously, which is driving with my headphones on.
Right.
And it just felt good. It felt right. And then later on that tour in March, we were in LA, and we had planned for this, but we had had kind of a rotating cast with drummers, and our friend Eric Slick from Dr. Dog
yep.
came out to play with us for a week. It just so happens that one of my dear friends and musical gurus, Aaron Embry, lives in Ojai. And I was on the road with Barney and Todd and then my friend Harrison Whitford. And we all we spent 2 days in the studio and we did everything that involved the five or six of us. And that was, it just came together perfectly. Everybody kind of understood the feel, although we had never really spoken about it.
Yep.
We had just, they might have listened to the songs a few times. They weren't so familiar with Mac Miller, which was great because now they are. And I tell you, everybody in the session was just like, dude, I didn't know that he got this deep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he wrote music like this, let alone lyrics, the music and the lyrics. And so these guys that I'm playing with, they were really impressed with the bands that he was able to put together, the friends that he had that he would play with, and the producers that he worked with and the engineers, you know, and they got into it and they just, we all linked up and ran the song one or two times and then recorded it a few times. And it was the perfect group of people to do it the way I had envisioned it in my mind as a flashing dream thought. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah. 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 That speaks to the kind of the atmospheric nature of his music. And I think of the many things that you capture so well, I think that that dream state, is captured so well. I'm sure a lot of it's done in post, but just the level of complexity in the music, never mind the cadence of the words, but and matching that with the complexity of the music. But I think for me, as somebody who listens to Mac, you know, the just juxtaposition of the music with the lyrics is something that you nailed. And you guys nailed the whole atmospheric kind of dream sequence of it all too, really well.
Yeah, it came across great. You know, we recorded most of it live, and then I would do harmonies and some extra guitar work and some trumpet stuff that my friend, I don't really even know him that well, but Stuart Cole was playing trumpet on it. You know, other than a couple days of overdubs, it was all there from the mistakes to it was great. Everybody nailed it. And this is why he has millions of fans, is because at some point what he was doing, color and sound and picture, it resonated with a certain demographic, a certain age group. Mm-hmm. Which is what a star is. You know, when somebody's a star, people relate to them.
Yeah.
They're popular because there's a slice of them that, at least what the audience sees, is the same as the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so it's a potion.
Right.
And it was just, you know, I just got a lot of respect for him, and I'm glad to kind of translate his pain through my vision of his pain and my own, how I am able to wear other people's pain along with my own. You know, it's a human quality that I don't think every human has,
mm-hmm.
but connection is what I want in life. All I want is connection, for someone to think the same thoughts that I've thought, so I can feel like I'm not an alien.
Right.
And with Mac, I just, you know, I wanted him to be, I'm more melodic than Mac.
Yep.
And he is a deeper cat than I.
Right.
And so it was on a selfish level, I was able to like get this out of my system, and pay respect at the same time.
Who came up with the song selection for this record? Was it you specifically? And how did you manage to come up with these specific tunes?
I made a list of 15 songs.
Yeah.
That I bounced back and forth with my manager, Jesse, and my other manager, Kevin. And we just kind of like, they didn't really know about his music at all. So if mm-hmm. one of the songs moved a couple of them, I would take a note of it. But all the songs that I picked are songs that I relate to.
Yes.
And that don't, they're deeper songs that he has. And deeper. I don't even know what that means actually, but they rang harmony with me.
Right, you connected.
And it's why Cinderella is just the outro of Cinderella and not the 5.5 minutes prior with Ty Dolla $ign.
Right.
It was when it broke down to him on the piano, and Small World was just, oh, objects in the, you know, when I would hear some of his songs and I would realize that, like, oh my goodness, this with an acoustic guitar would be had Coldplay done this, it would have been amazing on some other level, kind of, if that was a pop, but like acoustic driven kind of band.
Right, right.
Like Objects in the Mirror, it's a great chorus.
Mm-hmm.
I sang it all the time. It was easy. 2009.
Yes.
You know, he's talking about the past. He's like, he did that. He always is like, it's not that anymore. It's this. And now this is troubled, but it's beautiful at the same time.
Yes.
And he did have songs where he would go into the world where I didn't want to go into, which was, there was no room for like, I didn't want to say fuck, mm-hmm. pussy, cunt, bitch, anything. I didn't want to say that. There's no, that doesn't come out of my mouth. In music,
right.
So I had a hard time singing those kind of songs about the party side.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else have we got? We got Small World's brand name is just an instrumental on the track, and I wanted it to be like that. It was the groove of that song is what I'm drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Back to Earth being the last song is just like, that's the one. That's the,
yes,
it's gut wrenching, especially post mortem for him. It's it makes it hard to listen to and to think about, because I don't know this human being, but I was somehow moved enough to record a bunch of his songs, and that was the one that started it all. And it's a bummer to want to be friends with somebody, and probably we would have run across each other's paths and written some stuff together in mm-hmm. the future. And
so prolific for a guy who didn't have a lot of time with us. I mean, it's an incredible story, but also an incredibly sad story. Are these songs going to make it into regular rotation and set list? Is that the plan? I know, you know, you're always mixing things up. These songs are going to be performed live? Or is
Would love to. I would love to do the whole EP. I mean, as a special event, but mm-hmm. also, yes, for the rest of time, if people would like to hear myself and a group of musicians perform them, then yes, I'm here for my own reasons, but I'm also an entertainer,
yes,
and a fiber optic vessel of flesh to channel something from above. I don't know. I don't even know what I just said, but I feel it.
We didn't mention that Dad shows up and plays some pedal steel, which is always nice. Any occasion to add Bucky to a record must be exciting for you, right?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. He wasn't in LA with us. It was an overdub in Nashville that he did. He is not familiar with Mac Miller.
Right.
And so he just listened to the songs and he was like, hey, Ray, let me play on this. And I didn't even offer because I didn't think that he would be into it. But I was kind of silly not to think that he'd be into it. And he's so musical that I was on the other side of the country when he recorded that, and he sends it to me. And at first I just thought he was going to play pedal steel, but he put some mandolin on it. And some beautiful pedal steel. And it's, that's what he does. He makes everything sound better. And especially when you give a song to him at the end of the process, mm-hmm. when he can hear everything after mm-hmm. editing and find a zone where a melodic pedal steel line or a little on just Small Worlds with that mandolin.
Yeah.
I was really happy. I was really happy. And he's been on every recording of mine.
Right. You will invariably introduce new people to Mac Miller, and new people will be introduced to you because you are covering such a well thought of musician. Has that crossed your mind at all that, you know, these Mac Miller fans may grab a hold of this and may now become Raylan fans?
I wrote a letter to Mac's mom when I finished this project, kind of, and I don't even know if she's read it yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will be delivered to her until the vinyl and all the packaging is printed. But I wrote her, explaining to her how I came across her son's music, what I was doing in the studio with it, and that I thought, and at the end of it, I wrote, you know, that a lot of people will be introduced. I think a lot of fans that come to my shows and know my music will say, I mean, a lot of people know who Mac Miller is. Like, yes. He's a big, big star. And so for the ones that don't, like maybe an older generation, will maybe, you know, turn a leaf for hip hop, or at least Mac, you know, and everybody that has gone and listened to his music after hearing my versions of the songs, they've gotten into him.
Yes.
And it's cool. And I think that that's all that a mother would want, is for her son's legacy to stay on fire and on the tip of people's tongues and on the middle and outside edges and everywhere in between of their brains, you know, well forever.
Said. Well said.
So I'll just do my part.
And thank you for your part. And thank you for making the time today. We really appreciate it. And we think it's a great record. You're on tour, and are you working on new music at the same time?
Yeah, I am always just, you know, jotting down little voice memos on my phone and writing down things. And I don't like complete full songs on tour.
Right.
But I label voice notes, and I have a long list of just random sentences. And so what worked last time is I had a bunch of these jotted down notes and voice notes, and I went somewhere. I went to Thunder Sound, my buddy's studio in Kentucky.
Yes.
And stayed there for a few months and wrote and dissected and created. And so I'll probably do that this winter.
That was the again. Old, was it the tire warehouse or bottling plant? What was
rubber,
that?
Rubber bands.
Band I knew it was something. I knew it was something. I remember that it was something crazy that they turned into a studio. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to segue, you know, like I went to that studio and I lived under the guidance and friendship of Billy Swayze and Tiger Merritt. Tiger Merritt was the lead singer of a band called Morning Teleportation. Mm-hmm. And Billy Swayze was the runner, creator, and owner of Thunder Sound. And they're responsible for a lot of the songs that I wrote while up there. And they both have passed away in 2019.
Oh, wow.
From a car accident. Billy died in a car accident in January that wasn't supposed to happen. And Tiger passed away by ending his own life in April. And so when Billy died on Mac Miller's birthday in January, I think that's his birthday. Yeah. He died on his birthday. And so this is all tied into Billy and Tiger as well. And if you look at the album cover, there's a square that says Tiger Swayze on it. And those are for my boys in Kentucky who have affected me and all of my friends that were friends with them, from the entire Cage the Elephant, Bowling Green, machine of amazing musicians and a rock and roll band who all knew Billy and Tiger. And to all the people in Nashville and around that knew these cats, it's in their memory as well. And
wow. Wow. Well, thank you. I'm glad that you mentioned them, and I'm glad that they're in your thoughts. Continued success and hopefully brighter times ahead for you, Raylan. We appreciate the time you've taken today, man.
It's bright right now, you know. We get the time that we want. We get the time with certain people, and then they go on.
Right.
And that's life. That's life. Sometimes people take a left turn, and it's actually just that road falls off a cliff, mm-hmm. and they float away. And sometimes people take the right turn over and over again.
Right.
Whatever. People die. Just leave a good footprint when you do. And be magical always.
I can tell you sincerely, with which Raylan speaks about this project is undeniable on the work itself. Good Morning is a solid listen and an absolutely stunning tribute to Mac Miller. Though the EP is only out at the end of the month, you can catch Raylan on the road where he may be performing some of these or other Mac Miller songs. For all the details or to order the EP, visit RaylanBaxter.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another great cover. Here is Objects in the Mirror.
Your eyes, you can walk in blind. Better hurry, I won't hurt you, don't you worry. Listen to me, I'm gonna set you free. He ain't gonna break your heart again. Go through the words to reach the ecstasy. When your imagination on pretend. I never thought that it would feel this way. Never taught me how to heal the pain. I wish you caught me on a different day. And it was easier to be happy. Just a little taste and you know she got you. Can you hide away, can you hide away? Sound of silence as they all just watch you. Kinda find it strange how the times have changed. I wish we could go and be free once. Baby, you and me, we could change the world forever and never come back again. Let's leave it all in the rear view. Leave it all in the rear view, girl. You don't have to cry, Menda, Menda. Mend a broken heart if you can. Don't expect you to be capable. You got the world right in your hand. Responsibility is inescapable. I promise that I'll be a different man. Please give me the chance to go and live again. I'm having trouble, can you give a hand? It seems perfection really is so unattainable. Don't even say you're about to end it all. Your life is precious, you don't need to go and kill yourself. I'm not so sure that there's an end at all. I wish the truth were just to go and reveal itself. Who do you call to make it to the top? And who do you call to make the shooting stop? And who do you call to give the coupe a walk? After everything I did, I think I'm still myself. Just a little taste and you know she got you. Can you hide away, you hide away? Sound of silence as they all just watch you. I kinda find it strange how the times have changed. I wish we could go and be free once. Baby, you and me, we could change the world forever and never come back again. Let's leave it all in the rear view. Leave it all in the rear view, girl. Leave it all in the rear view. Let's leave it all in the rear view. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.